From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. As the United States and South Korea participate in joint military drills in the Yellow Sea today, the island that was shelled last week by North Korea is still on edge. A new round of artillery fire was heard today, and South Korea's military urged reporters to leave, saying their safety couldn't be guaranteed. From Seoul, Dwight Lee Sai-Kowtow reports the military ordered a brief evacuation, but later lifted the order for the few residents that have stayed on the island since last week's deadly shelling.
The evacuation has been lifted. Red Cross officials are now gearing to move food and other supplies to help people on the island. On the mainland, at a temporary shelter for those who fled Yongpyeong, this 74-year-old grandmother is frustrated that she can't sleep.
It's very uncomfortable, but there's nothing I can do, and so this is the only way.
She fears there may be another deadly attack because of large-scale military exercises between the U.S. and South Korea. Those drills began today in the Yellow Sea. For NPR News, I'm Dwight Lee Sai-Kowtow in Seoul.
The latest tensions on the Korean Peninsula have prompted a call from China for an emergency meeting of the six world powers involved in talks aimed at ending North Korea's nuclear program. Negotiators at the six-nation talks are being asked to come to Beijing in early December, but South Korea says now is not the time for them. There's been another explosion at the New Zealand coal mine where dangerous conditions have prevented the recovery of the bodies of 29 miners. It's the fourth blast at the Pike River mine, and its chief executive, Peter Whittle, says it could further delay the recovery process.
They may be better off sealing the mine, not forever, just sealing it, which helps to starve the mine of oxygen. It's just another way of doing it. It just takes a little bit more time because you have to make the mine airtight.
Whittle was speaking with TVNZ. The miners were trapped by a blast more than a week ago and declared dead after a second one 5 days later. Finance ministers in Europe are expected to sign off on a huge emergency rescue package for Ireland today. NPR's Philip Reeve says they're trying to contain a debt crisis that's sweeping through Europe.
Ireland will be the second country after Greece to get a massive bailout this year from an emergency rescue fund. Negotiations in Dublin between the International Monetary Fund, the EU and the Irish government have now ended after 10 days of talks. Ireland will be lent around $115 billion to save its broken banks and to help shrink the largest budget deficit in Europe. The Irish are keenly awaiting the announcement. Thousands protested in Dublin yesterday over the government's four-year austerity programme, a package of big public spending cuts and tax rises that comes with the bailout. Europe's governments hope rescuing Ireland will breathe confidence into the markets and stop the crisis spreading to Portugal and Spain. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Dublin.
And you're listening to NPR News. Voters in Haiti are going to the polls today to elect a new president and lawmakers, even as they struggle to overcome January's deadly earthquake and a spreading cholera epidemic. Albert Ramden is an assistant secretary general with the Organization of American States. He says Haitians are facing so many problems that a strong government is needed more than ever.
There is need for a legislative framework that can work together with the executive authorities in dealing with the challenges Haiti faces today.
Haitian voters are facing a crowded ballot. There are 19 candidates for president alone. The people of Ivory Coast are also choosing a new president in a decisive second-round election today. From Abidjan, NPR's Afebi Quist-Arctan says the mediator in the Ivorian crisis flew in yesterday to try to ease simmering tensions, including a dispute over a controversial curfew. He's calling for a violence-free runoff.
The overnight curfew ended at 6 a.m. here in post-war Ivory Coast, which meant voters could not make an early start to polling stations, which opened at 7. In the first round election last month, Ivorians lined up before dawn to vote. President Laurent Gbagbo announced the curfew Thursday. His army chief confirmed it would run until Wednesday to stop any further loss of life in pre-election clashes in which at least half a dozen people have been killed. Opposition parties reject the nighttime curfew, fearing it might be used to rig the vote. Ivory Coast's Election Commission also expressed its concern and called on the president to ease security measures, which it said could affect the vote. Ophébia Quist-Arctan, NPR News, Abidjan.
I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News in Washington. Support for